Hey everyone, it's Angela Stevens with the podcast Refocus Careers, and I've got an amazing individual that's got several different career paths he could have gone down, and we're going to find out more about him. But we are talking to Dr. Jack Maple. He has got an amazing background. He's a physician. He's worked with every child from infant to up to 21 years of age. He's working in primary care now. His background is beyond impressive. Let me tell you, he was trained at Yale Medical School. He completed his residency and chief residency at the Boston Combined Residency in Pediatrics. He is an associate or an assistant professor of pediatrics at Boston University. I could go on and on and on about you. But first of all, thanks so much for being on our show. I can't wait to dive into this. But my first question is this. So why did you become a physician?
Well, I didn't start out that way. I finished university as a history major and wanted to be a high school teacher. So I taught high school for a year in Switzerland, actually. And loved it. But I loved the students more than I loved being a history teacher, and decided to go back and finish my pre-medical science, which I had bailed on as an undergrad, and went back to school to do that. And promised to myself that if I was selling my soul in the soul-crushing world of being a pre-med, that I would bail. And I made it through just the same, and I'm glad that I did. My North Star was thinking about pediatrics, but shopped a lot of things along the way, but have really stayed resolute in the fact that I am most passionate about and most enthusiastic in engaging with kids and their health and their families, and specifically around chronic and complex illness, because it just brings all the goodness together. But it's been a non-linear trip, but it's been a good one.
What grade did you teach in school? High school?
I taught high school. I taught history, biology, and journalism.
Okay, got it. All right. So you go into the medical field. Why pediatrics?
I found that just in your travels as a medical student, you take care of elders, you take care of veterans at the VA, you take care of a general population in a family medicine program, or you go to OB. I was just consistently much more interested and excited by cases that revolved around pediatric issues.
Okay.
Infant development and so forth.
Love it. So if you didn't catch him on our other podcast on Refocus with Angela, he is actually, we found this out by accident, he's a cartoonist. I love that. He uses that and he implements that with his patients, which is amazing. Did you ever consider being a professional cartoonist?
I've always done it as a side gig. So I've made money, over the years doing like t-shirts and flyers and some publishing in some lay press, as well as some academic journals with which it looks a little weird, but
it's in your free time.
yeah, but it's never been something I have necessarily dove all into for my sustenance. I've always sort of done it on the side, and I'm happy. I like the balance, actually.
You never know when Disney's going to listen. So there you go.
You never know.
You never know. So talk to us about, healthcare certainly has had its challenges, right? And so people that are younger, that are going into the medical field, some have been a little dismayed about what, how it's been going and hearing from others. But what is so awesome about being in the medical field? If you were going to advise a young adult that was thinking about the medical field, what would you tell him and or her? And what would you tell them? Why? This is the reason and this is why you should do this, or you should consider it.
I think it's a hard enough sort of entry into the field, as you're saying, that people should take the time to make sure that they're doing it for them and for their own reasons. It's a terrible thing to do because it makes your auntie proud, for example, or grandma would be so pleased. I think there's too much at stake and there's too much time involved for it to be anything more than something that you are really sort of owning and taking forward. I think the reward, once you put in the work, is pretty enormous in the sense that it's wide open in terms of where you want to work. And the possibilities are endless in terms of, do you want an office job? Do you want a patient care job? Do you want to design health systems? Do you want to be a consultant to a company? Do you want to work with pharma? You can really choose your adventure in a way that I think is not as common in other fields. And so I think that, having a medical credential after your name, for example, opens doors and can be a very rewarding experience.
And you just said something very, very important. Being a physician doesn't end there. There's many opportunities, right? And you even talked about administration, because you actually, I wrote this down and I want you to go through this for me, but you do a third, a third, a third, a third, a third of something, all in administration, yeah. Right? Talk to us just a little bit about that. And then the differences of, you know, what that's like.
Right. So when I first started at this academic medical center, I was mostly patient care with a little bit of teaching sort of responsibilities. And over time, that pie chart's kind of shifted a bit. So now I do about a third of my time is direct patient care, seeing my patients in clinic. But another third of my time is helping administer the pediatric department where I work, and in developing faculty and helping with new hires and recruits and thinking about strategic initiatives. And then another third of my time is helping the health system that our hospital is affiliated with in developing programs at a population level around a new diabetes program, finding better ways to treat depression between communities and so forth. So that's not where I started and not even what I planned on. It's where my journey has taken me. And I think, as like in a lot of careers or fields, you know, that you go down a path and then there are these branch points which can bring you into new places you never expected to go, but your interest can definitely blossom along the way.
And you have to raise your hand. Right. I mean, when those opportunities come up, nobody's going to advocate for you, maybe, but it's up to
hopefully
you to say, hopefully they do. But if they don't, it's okay to say, hey, I'm interested in this if that ever comes
up,
you know?
Right.
And then on the flip side, on the flip side, I'm a recruiter. So this comes naturally. If you worked as a physician and you had medical affairs, medical education, there's plenty of opportunities in the pharmaceutical world and the nutraceutical world, all of those areas too, along with other educational training positions too. So I think that's really important. Yep. What's it like? We got to know this. What's it like being a physician, managing internally, like managing your nurses and working with them? And how does it's probably a very touchy question, but seriously, it's very true. Like, I mean, do you manage that? Does somebody else manage that? Tell us how that runs inside the world of being a physician.
Well, I can speak mostly to my direct experience, but I can have some understanding of how other people work. I like to sort of exist in a world where care happens like family dinner, where we're all at the table together. We're passing things around back and forth, in this case, ideas and information. And then something bigger happens than would occur if I just showed up by myself. And I think everyone has a role, and it may be, they may overlap a little bit, but that a parent can access, or a family or a patient can access the team and understand if they feel more connected to a social worker, for example, that's their point of entry and there's no wrong door. And that each of us feel empowered and enabled to, you know, really hand stuff over to our colleagues who may have more expertise or know-how in a particular domain. Like, I don't know housing that well, but I have a resource person who does. And I have a person struggling with depression, and I may have a clinical social worker who's great at therapy and can set up some downstream sessions with them so that something bigger and better can result from an enriched meeting with that. But you're right, there are politics, there's power, there's unions, there's institutions and big corporations that sort of like, you know, have a lot about the bottom line. And so that's not without complexity, but I think, you know, the idea of leaning in and a lot about surviving and thriving in healthcare, like anywhere, is about being a good colleague and making good relationships and trying to really lean into the team.
Right. And I always say this, and again, this is my recruiting side of myself coming out, but if you're not happy in your job, change it. Right. I think really important. You know, don't do something, because you're not only hurting yourself, you're hurting your patients, right? Because you want to give them the best care that you can. We talked a little bit about this, but I want to ask you again. If you're seeing a physician that you don't click with, or maybe if you're an adult or something, what's the best way to change?
Yeah, I think or to find somebody, right? Like if you're in a new state or new city and you want to find somebody.
It's like getting a divorce with your hairdresser, I'm telling you, because you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. You don't want to be a conflict. I mean, you don't, right?
You know what? I disagree. I think everyone's a grown up, and we don't live in a closed system on a space station. Like there are open walls here, and people can go down the street to another clinic and find another provider. I find people find word of mouth from their personal network is often very helpful, because they can get a trusted viewpoint. I think online is kind of problematic, because there's a lot of people with access to Grind, which may give you skewed information, which isn't necessarily representative of what your reality might be. But I think telling somebody, like, you know, I'm not sure I'm comfortable in this situation, it's perfectly fair if you say, like, I'd like to work with someone else, please. And you can stipulate to a degree what your hopes might be. Like I have a GYN complaint. I don't feel comfortable talking to a male doctor. Can I please speak with a female provider, for example? Like oftentimes that can be accommodated and it's perfectly understandable.
Yeah, that's great advice. And when you said you disagree, that's from our point of view, you know, is that, you know, people sometimes don't like confrontation and they don't like to, you know,
sure, I get that. I totally understand.
Make that change. Yeah. And so that's great advice on how to do that. And thank you. We're all grownups. I mean, I think we have to remind ourselves that, right? Because when we were younger, we were taught, right, to go to the doctor.
Totally get it. Totally get it. And I think it's your point is well taken. I think it's fair to sort of say that if someone's not meeting your needs to a degree, and if assuming everything's reasonable and fine and fair and transparent, then it's okay to say like, you know, I'd like to change my position or caregiver. That's perfectly fine.
That's great. So by the way, you mentioned earlier, you do improv. Do you do improv?
Just in my job.
In his job. So really quick, tell us, because I know we talked before, but tell us really quick on improv. What do you do with your patients?
I find that, you know, little kids are often so freaked out and they're so in the fear zone when their doctor's office, for me to sort of step out of like my doctor persona. And so for example, we're saying they're terrified of a throat culture, for example. And I was like, okay, totally get it. Okay. I'm going to practice on me and I'm going to show you, I'm going to survive. You can do this too. And so we'll get out of like a little swab. We'll get out like one of those little tongue depressor popsicle stick thingies. And I'll say, okay, now and it's going to be quiet. And then, and so on, we can.
I love that. But I think that is so awesome.
But just being playful can be enough to kind of like break the tension and bring everybody down a few notches on the stress scale. And then you hopefully they're mentally available to then engage, participate, and to just walk them through it. There'll be no, I don't believe in surprise parties.
Yeah. I'm telling you, for anyone listening to this, Dr. Jack Maple, I would give anything. I think I wish every doctor was like you. I mean, I really do. You have a great personality and a bedside manner, and just it shows you enjoy your job and you enjoy your patients, which is amazing. One last question for you: This is about careers, right? So, if you had a young adult sitting in front of you, and they said, "I don't know, I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know, you know, what I'm supposed to do or whatever." What advice would you give to that young adult?
I would say, don't worry about it. I think, you know, I think it's been said, and perhaps even more true as time goes on, that we're all going to have like 5 or 6 careers. So whatever you choose is very unlikely to be the last thing you do, but will inform your adventure beyond that. So I would say, like, don't put so much pressure and feel like you have one shot to choose and you may or may not blow it, because you don't. That it may take you a few tries, and that would be about normal. So give yourself some grace and some room to maneuver and think it through and try some stuff. Don't just get paralyzed. Like, put yourself out there, like you said, and try some things and see how it goes. That's how you learn. And from there, goodness will follow.
Love it. Thank you so much for your time today.
Pleasure.
I'm grateful to have you on here. And like I said, we'll put a few of your cartoons on there that you've done. I think they're amazing. So again, thank you.
My pleasure.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Refocus the Creative Office. If you haven't checked out our new designed academic calendars, you've got to check them out. Students are loving them. We've got them in bookstores all over and many retailers, but we've only got so many. So check them out at time2, refocus.com. They were actually designed by the input from college students nationwide. And also, if you're looking for an annual calendar, those are coming out very soon. Email us at info@time2refocus.com and let us know that you want to be added to our mailing list. And we'll let you know so that when you can pre-order those annual calendars coming soon. But no matter what you're going through, don't forget to stop, take a moment, and refocus. Have a great week.